Railroads were a major component in the formation of the modern American West. Those locomotives touching in Utah in 1869 tied the coasts together and opened up all the land in between for settlement. The railroad names are legendary: Union Pacific, Southern Pacific, Santa Fe. We'll wander off the list of biggies for a bit to discuss the Spokane, Portland, and Seattle. Take off the last name, it never got to Seattle, and you pretty much have the major ends of its line, Portland and Spokane. The SPNS is commemorated in a photographic archive at the Oregon Historical Society, and two guests join us from there. Laura Cray is digital librarian for OHS. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Good to have you here. And Ilana Sol is back with us, the digital collections assistant and researcher at OHS and filmmaker. We've talked to her in the past about her films On Paper Wings and Samurai in the Oregon Sky. Ilana, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Laura, let's start with you. First, the museum, the Oregon Historical Society, is open to the public again. Is that right?
Yes, we are open, I believe, 6 days a week now.
Mm-hmm. That's a bit of a change from where things went during the pandemic, huh?
Yes, yes. We've tried to be open when we can and are happy to be welcoming more guests back into our building.
So how important did digital collections get during the pandemic and the closure of the museum? I mean, how much more important over time has the set of digital collections grown in importance and in size for that matter?
Yeah, we were really fortunate to have had the opportunity to start building up our new digital presence and our digital collections in the couple of years before this last 2020 pandemic happened. And that allowed the museum and really researchers in Oregon and around the world to still have access to our collections, and it has allowed us to continue doing outreach and to do outreach in new and innovative ways that we hadn't really been working directly with before. So while it was not an ideal situation, this really has been an exciting time to be working with digital collections.
So give us an example of the outreach.
So we'd already started writing a blog and a mailing list that we do. And when the library closed, we moved to doing bi-weekly and now like weekly, and we started kind of spacing them out as things opened up again, but we've been able to do blog posts, sharing photos from our collections. We now have the imaging capability to be able to show high resolution detailed photographs of artifacts in our collection, really allow people not just in the Portland vicinity, but around the state and around the world, to interact with our collections and really explore them in more detail than they can just in a museum exhibit.
And Ilana, it was your blog post about the SPNS that kind of turned us on to all this. I mean, people can probably tick off a list of major railroads in the West like I did, and SPNS is really not one of the biggies, or wasn't. What made it pivotal in the region?
Oh, well, I actually think Laura can speak a bit more to that, but it all was based on the lumber industry in the region. I'm actually going to kick that question over to Laura.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm happy to pick that up. I'm usually the one that does a lot of the scoping and the researching and identifying collections that we think are really important to highlight from our collection. And this one, the SPNS is important because it came out of the ambitions of James J. Hill, who is actually one of the bigger lumber barons of the era, or not lumber, railroad barons of the era. And a few names, you're talking about the smaller names, he had control of Northern Pacific and Great Northern Railroads. And he traditionally reached the Portland market via the Oregon Railway and Navigation Company tracks. But those were bought up by Edward Harriman, who was Hill's adversary in the railway industry. And Harriman then blocked Hill from using those tracks, effectively cutting him off from the Portland market. So the railroad was originally called the Portland and Seattle Railway, which was a bit of a red herring. It was never really intended to go to Seattle. But Hill did not want Harriman to know that his intention was to build this track on the northern side of the Columbia River when Harriman owned the track on the southern bank of the Columbia. So that's where the Seattle comes in. And then the Spokane was added to the name once it became public knowledge, and Spokane wanted that recognition that the track actually went to them and not to Seattle. After he built that line, he also, one of his ultimate goals was to make it down to California and connect to the major California lines. So he also started building down south and made it all the way to Eugene on the Oregon Electric Railroad, and from Wishram, Washington to Bend, Oregon on the Oregon Trunk Railway. And he also built another line that went out to Seaside on the Oregon coast. And these lines had a pretty major impact on commerce and transportation within the inner core of Oregon, and allowed people to move, both themselves and their goods and services around the state much easier. This collection is really important, not just as a railway collection, though. It also documents the people, a lot of the agricultural activities that were going on in areas. There are photographs before and after construction of different lines. And since they were using these as promotional photographs, a lot of them are very professional and really detailed and well-done photographs. So even just as a collection on its own right, aside from all of the technical train locomotive and car photographs that are in there, it is a really interesting collection to explore.
Yeah, you're not kidding about the quality here. I'm looking at one of the pictures in the collection. It actually shows the first train to Portland from Astoria. You talked about the line to Seaside, and it's everything is shiny and gleaming on the engine and the train, and it just the detail in the picture is just magnificent. So taken, obviously, by somebody who knew what they were doing.
Yes.
We are talking to Laura Cray and Ilana Soule from the Oregon Historical Society about a collection of photographs from the Spokane, Portland, and Seattle Railway, which, despite the name, never got to Seattle, but was a really important connection from Portland to Spokane, and therefore on east all the way to Chicago and beyond. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Ilana, talk about, if you would, about the process of going through this collection and deciding what to keep.
Absolutely. So my job is to really go through the photographs that have been selected for digitization. After they've been digitized, I describe the photographs. And, you asked about the historical significance of this collection. And I have to say, when Laura told me that I'd be describing photographs of the SPNS Railway, I assumed that the photographs would all be, trains and locomotives. That's what I was expecting to see. And while there are dozens and dozens of beautiful photographs of trains, what really took me by surprise was that the collection just turned out to be so much more than that. Between the early 1900s and the 1970s, SPNS really documented so much of what was going on, not only on their railroads and on their trains around the railroads and in the towns that they were going through. So before I even saw a single photograph of a train, I was looking at historic photographs of the fishing industry in Astoria. I was looking at photographs of historic hotels and government buildings in Bend and in Longview, Washington. I saw photographs of the construction of the Bonneville Dam on the Columbia River. There are photographs of the hot springs in Carson, Washington in the early 1900s. There are photographs of early orchards in Hood River and Parkdale. There are beach scenes from Seaside, Cannon Beach, and Astoria. And then getting further south, there's a lot of scenery from the Prineville area, from the Crooked River Valley, from Smith Rock, and along the Oregon Trunk Railroad. And then there are just dozens of photographs documenting early farms and agriculture in central and eastern Oregon, and some in southern Oregon. I know you have listeners in Lakeview and Lake County, and there are definitely some dry farming photographs of the dry farming industry in those areas in the early 1900s. So there was just so much variety in the subjects of these photographs. It was really astounding. And then, of course, for the train enthusiasts who are listening, I want to make clear there are lots of photographs of locomotives, of railroads, train wrecks, actually, machine shops. And SPNS also documented their railway employees and their passengers throughout the years. So those are really interesting photographs as well. You mentioned earlier that the photograph looked like it was professionally taken, and I have to say that SPNS throughout the decades, hired, you know, professional photographers in the Portland area and down in Bend and Madras. They hired the known photographers, you know, the photographers who were professionals to document their industry.
I'm looking at one of the ones. It looks like it came from the Kaiser Photo Company of Portland, but it's a man standing next to stacks of alfalfa in Prineville in 1911. And the stacks of alfalfa looked to be 25 to 30 feet tall. I mean, was this a normal process that we know, or was this something just for the camera?
I don't know about that one specifically, but I do know that at that time they were actively trying to encourage people as they were building that line to move into Central Oregon and to start doing dry land farming in that area between Redmond, Prineville, and Madras. So it's probably a little bit of both.
Okay.
That would be my guess.
Yeah, right. But interesting pictures, as Ilana just pointed out about the agricultural thing, like this picture of a team of 20 horses pulling a combine across a hill somewhere in eastern Oregon or eastern Washington.
Yes.
Just some interesting stuff that went on at the time that you know, obviously brought stuff to the railroad and contributed to the region, but was not directly part of the railroad.
Exactly. I mean, it was just I think the context, you know, offered by this collection was just so vast. There's, you know, there are the railroad photos, and then there's just everything going on around the railroad, which is really wonderful. I'd also like to add, as your listeners go to if they go to the Oregon Historical Society's digital collections page and click on these photographs, you can zoom way in on these photographs. We scan them at a very high resolution. And the reason I want to bring this up is that there were definitely some photographs, you know, in this collection that I looked at them and I thought, oh, well, that's an interesting photograph. But then when you zoom in, there's just so much more detail that the photograph just becomes so much more interesting. And I think a good example is there are several photographs of various main streets, you know, throughout small towns in Oregon that can be found in this collection. And when you click on these photographs, you can zoom in. And, I mean, you can read the names of shops and businesses that existed in some of these towns decades ago. You know, you can observe up close the clothing the people wore throughout the early and mid-1900s. And in some cases, zooming in actually allowed me to read the numbers on the sides of the locomotives, you know, the road numbers or the fleet numbers, mm-hmm. that helped me to actually identify the trains that I was looking at. So I hope when your listeners check out these photographs that they'll actually click on the photograph and zoom in, because the high resolution allowed me to see things that I couldn't even see with my naked eye when I was looking at the physical photograph.
I've been taking you up on the advice as we talk about this and looking at the picture included in the blog that Ilana put up about that has a picture of Eugene on Willamette Street. And
yes.
And apparently you can zoom in and see that there was a Buffalo Bill Wild West show in town about that time.
I was going to say I like the dog that's crossing the street in that photograph too, in the middle.
Those are fun little details. Yeah, when cameras finally got fast enough to capture people and doing things other than standing there grimacing at the camera, the details get really interesting. We are talking to Laura Cray and Ilana Soule from the Oregon Historical Society about digital photographs generally, and more specifically, a collection from the SP&S Railway, the Spokane, Portland, and Seattle. And you're welcome to join us on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. I should point out, Laura, that this railroad never really stopped doing what it's doing. It's just working under different names. It was the Burlington Northern after 1971, and then when that merged with the Santa Fe, the BNSF, and still in operation, still has an Amtrak train running from
yes.
Portland to Spokane, connecting with the main body of the train from Seattle to go all the way to Chicago.
Yes, and we were fortunate and that someone at Burlington Northern was proactive enough in 1970 when they were going through all of their consolidation and merging with SP&S that they donated these photographs to us at that time. So they have a great history there as well, and we're very thankful that they saw the significance of these and allowed us to preserve them.
So, Ilana, do you do the digitizing yourself, or does somebody else handle that? I mean, I'm just trying to figure out how painstaking your part of the process is.
I do not do the actual digitizing, though. That is our team member Rob does that. What happens is after he digitizes the photographs, they then come to me and I describe them. So I'm trying to identify the date, any subject matters in the photographs, the title, the photographers. And I have to say, in this collection, I really found out about the various professional photographers living throughout Oregon in the early 1900s, because SPNS really, really identified who they were and used their abilities.
This sounds like potentially a pathway for more stuff in the future. When you get the names of the photographers and realize, oh, you should now seek out their collections by that name, you could potentially get your hands on more materials, I would think.
Absolutely. Well, and it's important to note, we only digitized about a quarter of this collection. There's about 700 photographs online, and there are substantially more photographs that are physically available if people come into our research library, which will be reopening hopefully in early August. We're in the middle of a remodel project right now, but we will be opening back up to the public early this fall.
So, Laura, are there any credentials required to make use of the research library? Can anyone use it?
Anyone can use our research library. It is freely open. You don't even have to pay museum admission to get in if you just tell the front desk that you are there to research in the library. They will show you to our library space.
And
while we are in our remodel, you can email our reference staff, and they will gladly help you remotely with your research as well.
Ilana, while we have you, I have to ask if you're at work on another film at the moment.
Not right now. I'm still kind of working on, the pandemic kind of put the brakes on screenings of my last film, Samurai in the Oregon Sky. But while I was working on those, on my two films, I got really into archival research, and I wound up going to graduate school for library science with a concentration in archival studies. And I was in my last year of school when I applied for this job as a digital collections assistant at Historical Society. So it's kind of connected with my film work. I think film has. My work in documentary film has kind of led me to archives, and I learned that I really do love working as an archivist and working in the archives. So this is what I'll be doing for a while. And mm-hmm. as we start to come out of the pandemic, hopefully I can get more into some film work again.
Okay, Ilana Soule, digital collections assistant and researcher, filmmaker of On Paper Wings and Samurai in the Oregon Sky. Laura Cray, digital librarian at the Oregon Historical Society, digitalcollections.ohs.org. Thank you both for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you.
You
Thank
bet.
You.